There you go.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I'm Bill Lipinski, and this is Two Guys on Politics. And the lead man is up next, Mr. Ray Hanania.
And I am Ray Hanania, and this is April 18, 2024, season 3, episode 12 of Two Guys on Politics with myself and the former Congressman Bill Lipinski. Two Guys on Politics podcast presents a Reagan Democrat perspective from Chicagoland's Southwest Side and the Midwest. We got three good topics today that we're going to dive into. One is the Strategic Defense Initiative that was set up by former President Ronald Reagan and our co-host who supported it, Bill Lipinski. And then we'll kind of talk about, we'll move into the conflict that's brewing between Israel and Iran. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Kennedy family, which turned its back on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential candidacy to endorse Joe Biden. I wonder why that was. And then finally, we'll talk about Donald Trump's court case. I don't know if it's more of a political circus or how serious it's going to be, but it's dominating the news. So, Bill, tell us what is this? What was this Strategic Defense Initiative that was set up by former President Ronald Reagan?
Well, this is, goes back to 1983 when Ron set up what was called the Strategic Defense Initiative. I was a strong supporter of it, as was most of the Republicans in the House of Representatives. And I think there were four or five other Democrats who supported it. The rest of them opposed it. It was a system set up to shoot down drones, missiles, fighter planes, bombers attacking a particular country. Unfortunately, it ran into a great deal of flack from the Democrats. Teddy Kennedy, Senator Teddy Kennedy, called it Star Wars to ridicule it. But the worst one was the following. I'm going to read it to you because I want to quote it correctly. And then you
Sure.
can guess who this senator was.
All right.
Star Wars, he calls it, referring to the Strategic Defense Initiative, represents a fundamental assault on the concepts, the alliances, the arms control agreements that have buttressed American security for several decades, and the president's continued adherence to it constitutes one of the most reckless, irresponsible acts in the history of modern statecraft. Now, who do you think said that?
Church,
Church? No, no.
Senator Church.
Oh, it wasn't Senator Church. Take another guess.
Was Senator McCarthy still around back then?
Oh, Senator McCarthy was gone by that time. Try a
I
third
don't know.
guess.
Harold Washington, Congressman Harold Washington.
No, you want me to say it, huh?
Yes, I think it would be good.
The present incumbent of the White House,
Really?
yes, Joe, my good friend Joe.
Wow, Joe Biden, when he was a congressman, said that.
When he was a U.S. Senator, said that, yes. And
U.S. Senator, wow.
now that is the defense that saved Israel from the attack of all those drones and all those missiles from your good friends in that country who I continually confuse with the other one that starts with an I,
The Iranians. Yeah,
Iranians.
not my good friends. I don't
Oh,
support
I
them at all.
know.
But so explain the Strategic Defense Initiative. It was to provide support for allies, correct? In the event of a missile attack of some form, and that would have been before they even anticipated the use of drones,
Oh,
you
yes,
know, remote
absolutely.
controlled attack instruments.
Right, absolutely. Ron had the idea, he did get some support, but he didn't get enough support. But 2 years after he came up with the plan, the Israelis accepted the plan to build what they today call their Iron Dome.
Right.
And that, you know, there was France, and there was Great Britain, and there was Jordan, and there was another country, Saudi Arabia,
Right.
and the United States and Israel all participated in this Iron Dome for Israel. And that's really what saved Israel from having a tremendous loss of life, loss of homes.
Now, just so you know, I know the Saudis have been publishing stories saying that it's not true, that this is propaganda. I'm just telling you what they've said,
Okay.
that they did not shoot down any of the missiles. Jordan, however, is kind of being wishy-washy about it because, you know, in the Arab world, a lot of Arabs are really angry with what Israel's doing in Gaza. So it just seemed kind of odd that two Arab countries would side with Israel against Iran, especially when Iran, because of the bad leadership of Joe Biden, has been making inroads through the help of the Russians and the Chinese with the Arab Gulf, with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar, with all of those Arab countries. They've actually been kind of a detente almost in their conflict, you know, because Saudi Arabia and Iran were at odds for many years over Yemen, and that's kind of slowed down a little bit. So it's kind of a weird situation. But this Strategic Defense Initiative, what does it require in terms? Is it a mandatory thing where we support the signatories of this? Was there like an agreement?
I couldn't tell you about that, Ray, because in all honesty, I didn't realize up until very recently that Israel's Iron Dome was really
Was
the
part of this?
Strategic Defense Initiative. Yes, excuse me.
Yeah, I like to call Israel's Iron Dome the United States Iron Dome because we basically pay for the whole thing. Whatever Israel has, we pay for it. Our taxes pay for it. And I'm so glad that we're able to do so much for a foreign country. I wish we could, wouldn't it be nice if we did the same for the American people? Sometimes some of the seniors.
I'd like to go back on one thing that you had to say. I did not mean to say that Saudi Arabia
No, I
was
understand. They
involved.
reported it though. They did report it
Correct.
that they,
Yes.
yeah, they did report it. But they've denied it. They claimed it wasn't true. So I don't know what the actual facts are, you know, because and you and I both know that when it comes to Israel, they don't like to say everything that happens. We won't learn for 30 years what the truth is.
Absolutely.
Just like we still haven't learned after how many years what the truth is regarding the assassination of John F. Kennedy and maybe even Robert F. Kennedy, which we'll talk about later.
I
But
knew you were. I knew where you were going there. So
that
this. Okay.
well, no, so it was interesting though that I mean a lot of people and I'm sure most people out there look at this and say, why would Iran, you know, that's horrible that Iran would attack Israel, but the media made such a big deal about Iran and the politicians made such a big deal about Iran. But when Israel actually attacked Iran the week before on April 1st, they attacked Iran's embassy in Damascus, Syria, and killed 12 people, including some generals, they said. But there were 12 people that were killed, and that upset the Iranians. And I think Biden was kind of caught a little off guard that they did that, tried to kind of discourage an escalation of this conflict in the Middle East that's building around Israel and Hamas and Gaza, and tried to get the Iranians not to respond, but they did respond with a bunch of missiles, I think maybe 100 or so. Most of them, I think almost all of them, except for one or two, were shot down.
I thought it
These
was
drones, I
300.
think.
I thought it
Was
was
it
300.
three?
Yeah,
Well,
300.
the media, depending on how much the media loves Israel, the more a newspaper loves Israel, the bigger the threat that they're going to have. You know, I'm a big critic of our media in this country because I really think they're more, we don't get a straight answer from them about what's really going on, and we're driven like cattle by emotional prods to get us to be angry, you know, against people that the media wants us to be angry against.
Right.
But
Are you finished attacking the American media for this week?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Listen, I believe the fundamental problem of our country today is we don't have the same free media that we used to have when Ben Franklin was around. The whole principle of free speech and, you know, has been corrupted. I mean, it's amazing that we've created circumstances where you can't say something anymore, where the media has taken sides and they run, you know, candidates and support candidates in foreign countries. So to me, it's a bigger issue than just Israel and the Arabs. I think it's that way on many cases. And I think, don't you think that that's one reason why America is so divided today, that these politicians are getting support from their media, one side or the other side?
Oh, there's no question about that. Absolutely. The media has brought us to the position of being so divided in this country. Let's get back, though, to the situation here in the Middle East.
Sure.
You give Biden credit, at least, for persuading the Israelis not to initiate an attack upon Iran so we don't get involved in a wider war. Now, I know Bibi keeps saying he's going to retaliate, okay? Of course, you say the Iranians were retaliating for what he did in the first place. So
right.
Can't you give some credit to Joe for de-escalating the situation?
Well, I mean, listen, here's the problem. I understand and I agree somewhat with your point, but the situation was created because of Joe Biden's lack of leadership. Iran, I don't think Israel would have attacked Iran on April 1st and destroyed this consulate section of their embassy in Damascus, Syria, had President Biden been a stronger president. And that's not the only thing. I think that it's created a whole wave of problems. I don't believe Russia would have attacked Ukraine. I don't believe Gaza, the Hamas terrorists, would have actually crossed into Israel the way they did had they seen the United States being much stronger, you know, with Biden's leadership. I think that it was more of a desperation because Biden said he supported peace in the Middle East, but he's so lost and he never did anything about it. It's just bad leadership. So I think all these troubles we're seeing a building up of conflict all over the place. Then Israel strikes Iran, then Iran strikes Israel, then people start taking sides. You get Jordan jumping in to stop the Iranian missiles along with Israel and the United States. It's I think, don't you agree that it was the United States for the most part that stopped most of these drones from hitting Israel?
No question about it. And it was our technology, you know, that enabled the rest of them to stop these missiles. Yes, very, very definitely. There's no question about that. I mean, the United States supports Israel. We have since 1948.
Yes.
We will continue to do so. Nothing, I believe, is going to change it unless we get a Palestinian elected president of the United States. And I don't think that's going to happen in the near future.
I'm ready to take the oath of office, Phil. But this is my point. This is my point. Too old. I'm a youngster. I just turned 71 this week, by the way, 71 times around the planet. That's still, I think, 10 years, more than 10 years younger than what we have today. But the thing that concerns me isn't so much about us standing with Israel. What concerns me is the inability to stop these things from spreading so quickly. We don't have any influence. That's what really worries me the most. Who does have influence? I'm not sure.
Well, what would you have done, Ray? You know, if you were the president of the United States, how would you have handled this situation? I mean, you're an expert on the Middle East. And I mean that sincerely. You know a lot more than I know about the entire area. So what would you have done if you had been president? How would you have, let us go back to just before Hamas attacked Israel. Is there anything that could have been done to stop that?
Yes, I think so. I think that what we could have done was if we roll back time in the politics for about a year and a half, Netanyahu was indicted on three criminal charges. He was about to be taken to court and brought before a judge where he was going to have to defend himself. And a lot of people thought it might be the end of his 24-year reign. And he's really an extremist. I don't consider a lot of the Labor Party and the people that supported Yitzhak Rabin to be extremists. I may have disagreed with him a little bit, but I think that if we had had a stronger president, he would have stood up to Israel's move, not just to the right, but to the far right. Netanyahu, to save himself and prevent him being brought to trial, made a deal with the most extreme religious parties in Israel, who, by the way, they not only don't like Muslims, they don't like Christians. They despise us, and they don't really care that whether we care about what they do or not. So he had to partner with the devil to save his career. And if we had a stronger president, I think that president could have bolstered up the moderate conservatives in Israel who would have stopped Netanyahu. And I don't think we'd be where we're at today. But that also goes back before Israel to the Ukraine. I think a tough president would have stood up and strongly and said, you cross that line, we're going to step in. And now I would want us to step in, but I would have thought maybe Vladimir Putin would have thought, oh my, this guy is tough. He just might step in and it could be bad for us, our backward Russian country with all these nuclear bombs and oppression. But Biden was weak, and I don't see anybody fearing, the leadership of the United States. People are doing whatever they want to do, not just Israel and Palestine, but Russia, Europe. We got members of NATO that are doing whatever they want to do. And I think it all goes back to Biden's inability to be the strong leader that he should be.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you say all of that. I will not challenge any of it. I have a different perspective on it. I don't think that Biden has been a strong leader. I will agree with you on that. But it's a very complex world. I don't really know how much he could have done about those situations. I think some people are just hell-bent on creating violence, other countries, going after people they don't like. And I think when you get such high emotions into it, it's very difficult for anyone to do anything about it. But I'm glad to hear your perspective, because you are an expert on the Middle East. And now I'd like to move on to something else, if possible.
You should be the editor of one of our big newspapers. You'd be more objective than most of them, because I don't think we get the full story from the media. And, I think it's certain topics that they really control and spin and manipulate. And I really think that they deflect the criticism away from Biden. They're protecting Biden. They're defending him without allowing people to argue the actual facts and the issues. Because to be honest with you, even prior to October 7th, which was a horrible terrorist attack by Hamas, I'm not a big supporter of Hamas at all. I oppose them because they have always opposed the peace process. It's not a new thing, but so has Benjamin Netanyahu and his right-wing Likud party. They've opposed the peace process from the beginning too. Those two have been the dominant factors there. But prior to October 7th, Israel was attacking and killing people in the 2 years prior. And I think as many as 700 Palestinians were killed by Israeli attacks. What? And the Israelis just say that, oh, well, they're terrorists. Most of them were just protesting. They're not allowed to protest because they're Muslim and they're Christian. A lot of Christians were killed among those 750 Palestinians that were killed in the year and a half before October 7th. So to me, the issue is that we're reacting out of emotion. We're not really acting out of facts or strategic thinking. And regardless of whether I'm right or wrong about my facts, emotion is bad for everybody, because we jump into something that we really shouldn't be jumping into. And I think that's where we're headed, into some really bad problems. So I'm building a bomb shelter in my house, by the way, back from, remember in the 50s? That was a very popular thing.
Absolutely, sure.
Mm-hmm. And you hear the commercials on TV and radio now about buying food that can last 4 to 5 years.
Yes,
they're now selling those. So these are little signs to me that things are moving in a very bad direction. They just sound so innocent today, but one day we're going to wake up and we're going to say, how did we get here? And I think that we're on a road that I think is pretty clear, but nobody's really looking around at the scenery.
Could we move to another topic now?
Yes, yes, we can. One of the other topics, of course, if you want to get into politics, is the Kennedy family. I think there were like 20 very influential members of the Kennedy family who had a press conference today and endorsed Joe Biden as their candidate for president.
Surprise.
Right, yeah. And we've heard them criticize Robert F. Kennedy Jr. many times. He has had some way out there conspiratorial views. I don't think that's all he represents, but that's what we've been presented. But do you think that's going to help Biden?
No, I don't think it's going to help Biden at all. No. I think that people that are influenced by the Kennedy mold and the Kennedy people are probably going to vote for Robert Kennedy Jr. I think that's how dedicated people are to the Kennedys. But, you know, it was 1960 when John Fitzgerald Kennedy was elected president of the United States.
Right.
He was killed in 1963, I believe. His brother was killed in the same year.
In 68, yeah.
Time ago, okay?
Yes.
I think that if a Kennedy is running for office, the Kennedy people across the country will support him, and that's Robert Kennedy Jr. But just because some Kennedys are opposed to him, I don't think that'll have any effect whatsoever. I believe that if Kennedy could come across a little bit more reasonable, because there's a lot, he's a very intelligent man, and he can explain his positions very, very well. But you know, and I know, that the news media is not going to give him much of an opportunity to explain his positions. In some of them, even that he explains it, I have to say truthfully, you know, I can't buy it. But the news media will give him no chance. I mean, the news media will give Trump, who I can't stand, who I think is reprehensible, but he doesn't get a fair shot by the news media in this country.
Right, right.
They're all with Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is the most liberal of all the candidates, and the news media in this country is a liberal entity. Some aspects of it are very liberal. Some aspects are actually, you know, progressives, socialists, and they support the people who they believe will bring socialism to this country. I hate to be so, you know, dire about this stuff, but I really believe that, and I believe that they have contributed very significantly to the divide that exists in this country. And if we don't find some way to bring Americans together, I really don't know what's going to happen to us, Ray.
Yeah, and I think you touched on a very important point, one that I've been thinking about too. When I think of the Kennedys, I don't think of the celebrity Kennedys of today, you know, that have all the big money and they go to these socialite parties. They're uninfluential in politics. I haven't seen a Kennedy really influence politics since Chris Kennedy attempted, I think that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s brother, who tried to run for governor unsuccessfully against Pritzker for the Democratic primary, I think over 4 years ago. I can't remember the exact, maybe more. But when I think of the Kennedys in leadership, I think of John F. Kennedy assassinated, Robert F. Kennedy, now senior, obviously assassinated, Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. I think of John F. Kennedy Jr., who inspired us. We're talking 40, 50 years ago. Chris Kennedy, he was a pretty good candidate. He really was reasonable. And I remember interviewing him and meeting him, and I thought, wow, this guy was smart. But that's as far as the brain trust of the Kennedy family goes. They're not the same. And I think the only problem with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running for president now, is that, and I do blame it on the media, he has a wide berth of issues, but they've targeted two issues that they keep saying, well, he's a conspiratorial nut job. He doesn't believe, he believes the vaccinations are going to make people sick from COVID. And he believes in these other conspiracies regarding whatever. Even his uncle, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, he wants to release all those documents that for how many years has it been? Over 60 some years? And they haven't been released. It tells me that there's something they're hiding. And he believes it, and I believe it, and I think a lot of people believe it. His problem, though, is the system is so against him that he has to fight hard to get on the ballot, and he is doing it slowly, but it's a big struggle, and he doesn't have a lot of help other than himself and what I think is some popularity. I'm saddened that the No Labels Party just pretty much collapsed and disappeared.
Yes, they certainly did.
In the last couple of weeks, and I thought maybe they, if they really cared about a third party in this country option, that they would have gotten involved with Robert F. Kennedy. But, you know, you're influenced by the media, and if you don't hear direct, and I don't think Kennedy does a good job of media. I don't think he gets his message out correctly.
Well, that's because he tries to explain it in great detail because he has so much knowledge about the issue. But I mean,
too much, right?
Yeah, right. You know, you got to be. You know,
right.
Newsbox.
Got to be simple and snippy and
I mean,
quick.
I was Zoom and I this vaccination situation. I mean, finally, at the end of about a 15-minute presentation on it, he said a key thing. He said, you know, I'm saying that the vaccine wasn't tested like all other vaccines have been tested. Consequently, I don't think it should have been used so widely until it was tested. But he takes 15 minutes to get down to that. Now, if he just made that into a soundbite, you know,
yes,
would say, well, I have to, there's a lot of people in this country who agree with him on that.
Right. And he walks into what's the middle of a war already. There's a war between the left and the right. It's polarized. There's no middle ground. Everybody has been dragged like magnets to their left or like magnets to the right. And it doesn't matter what's being said. If you defend Trump, you'll attack Biden. If you defend Biden, you'll attack Trump. Nobody's looking at the issues at all. It's really just personality that's really driving this fight. And that is a very dangerous situation. And some smart communist tyrant like Vladimir Putin, he's no dummy. He's looking
not.
and he's saying, this is the perfect time to do whatever we want to do. That's what really scares me, that we're not stopping him.
No, and we have allowed China and Russia to go closer and closer and closer together so that we almost think of them as a monolith now. And they make a, you know, they're a formidable pole with a formidable, what word am I searching?
Alliance. Foes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was the word. I wanted to go back to the Kennedys.
Sure.
I doubt very seriously that today there are many people in this country who know who Joe McCarthy was. Okay. You know who he was. I know who he
was.
Right. He was a Republican crusader against communists in government, but he went about it entirely in the wrong way. Okay.
Right.
Now, do you know who one of the attorneys on his committee was?
I think it was that Roy Cohen, wasn't the guy?
Roy Cohen was, but there was a fellow there by the name of Robert Kennedy also was an attorney on McCarthy's committee. And I don't think there's too many people that realize that today. Now, he turned out to be a rather liberal individual, but his brother, the president, really was quite conservative throughout his entire career as president, which unfortunately was cut short. But I mean, if you're going to oppose a Kennedy or support a Kennedy, you should know the history of the entire family. Joe McCarthy, people contend to this day, those that know about him, he was the father, the patriarch of the Kennedys. They say he made money out of bringing illegal alcohol into this country. I have no idea if that's true or if it isn't true. I can't believe he could have made as much money as he did make simply bringing illegal alcohol in. But a lot of people said that back in those days. But you should know who the background of all these people are before you go off on some tangent opposing them or supporting them.
Yeah, and I was going to say that I think you're right. I mean, it's tragic that we are not looking at the facts. I think the only for most Americans that I don't think that they want to know the facts, but what they're getting is opinionated emotion from either side. And all the only two things that they care about, I think the majority of people out there today, they only care about two things. What's their username and what's their password on social media so that they could express their anger and frustrations unrestrained, unthought out, spilling it out like vomit, just spit it out there without even thinking. When I was raising my daughter and later my son, one of the first things I did was I could see this trend toward computers and social media, and I knew that what the speed of the computers was going to take our thoughts and get ahead of us so fast that we wouldn't think things through, because that's one of the things that as a journalist I wrote with a pen and a paper and then a typewriter, and it was a very slow, deliberate process where you thought about things. So I made my daughter and my son always write whatever it was they thought of, handwrite it longhand in a journal, think about what it was that you were going to say, write it out, and then if you wanted to post it on social media, you could go ahead and do that. But this shooting from the hip that we have in our society today, you hear something, you don't even know what the facts are. Not you, but people don't even know what the facts are. They get upset, they get emotional, they start screaming. Pretty soon you got two people yelling at each other. And they don't even know what the actual issue was that started the fight. That to me is so dangerous for our country, and we're not addressing it.
Well, I think what's very dangerous for our country is the lack of voting by people. There's
Yeah.
a great divide in this country. People are separated by issues. And yet, when it comes time to vote, to really participate in government,
Right.
they'll spend all day, on YouTube attacking somebody and never go to vote. I mean, that is disgusting to me, the lack of people voting. I mean, that last election in the city of Chicago for what was it for?
And
Turnout.
in the suburbs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, County of Cook. Yeah, the turnout was it's worse than dismal, absolutely
Yeah.
worse than. And yet, people were so energized by that. There were so many people talking about the former state's attorney who might be the new state's attorney, what their position was. And yet, I think what do we have? About 30% at the most come out to
I
voting.
think it was less than that. I think some
Anybody
places said
voting?
it was around 20%, and some villages had almost less than 17% turnout. I think you're absolutely right. When the majority of people who can vote don't even take the time to vote, but they're all on social media yelling and screaming at each other, it tells you what they think the priority is. It's not actually electing a good leader. The priority is screaming at somebody. And angrily denouncing people on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on TikTok, on Gitter, on Truth Social, President Trump's social media that he created to respond to the social media. It's like too polarized. It's kind of a scary situation. And I really worry about, one big conflict. If we have another big major conflict in this world, and I think it's going to come out of Asia, we're going to be overwhelmed in a huge war. It will be a world war because right now we're fighting in Europe, we're fighting in the Middle East. If we start fighting in Asia, who knows? That will consume like two-thirds of the world will be in conflict. To me, that's a world war.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. How the if you go back in our history, this country was extremely divided after the Civil War, North and the South. And it continued to be that way, really, until the First World War. In the First World War, that finally brought our country together because there was a foreign enemy that our president said was really scary and someone that could really give us a lot of trouble. So we came together. You had people from the South, people from the North in the army working together. That brought us together. Maybe we need something like that again, but I hate to think of what the cost in human life will be if we get involved in another world war, even, if no one uses nuclear weapons. With the technology that exists today, you can kill so many more people than we did in this First World War or the Second World War.
And these drones are like video games. They can send 300 drones 1,000 miles. Now, they weren't very effective. I'm not sure if I think the purpose of what Iran did wasn't so much to hurt Israel as much it was to make a public statement that we're strong, the Iranians, we're strong, we won't be bullied, for their audience. I think it was, they didn't care that their drones were not as effective. They just wanted to do something so they could say, we stood up to the great Satan. And I think that was the purpose. But you can see that these missiles from a much more powerful country, I don't really think Iran is like our biggest threat in the world, but we demonize it because they're the easiest to hate. I am worried about Russia, and I'm worried about something happening in that war with Ukraine where he may actually take over Ukraine and suddenly the war spreads to a neighboring country. And just the way World War I and World War II started, they started small with crazy people and they spread really quickly. So,
well, now that we've scared everybody to death by this program,
I don't know. They're already cussing us out, Bill, probably.
I hope so, but it's time for us to move on because I can't see much more of this myself.
This is depressing. Well, a final thought. It's still early in the Trump court case involving the money that was allegedly misused by Trump to silence Stormy Daniels, the pornographer, this woman, female pornographer, who she alleged had sex with Trump. Trump denied it. I think it was embarrassing for him because his wife, suddenly hears all this stuff, and that money was paid to his attorney. The attorney, I think, went to jail for it, but now they want to go after him because they got the attorney to turn on him. But what's really bothering me about the trial isn't Trump. He may be guilty and he is reprehensible. I totally agree. But what bothers me is there's this hypocrisy. I don't get the feeling that this is about justice is blind. I think that justice in this case is being manipulated to achieve a political goal. They want to take Trump out. I think this movement is all about, it's not even about Biden. Biden just happens to be the person that's the person that is holding the spot that they want to win. Could be any Democrat or leftist. But they see Trump as a threat, and he may well be a threat. But I still believe in the system. If we do the system right, the tyrants always lose. But we don't seem to have the faith in our system the way we used to, that they're manipulating the judicial system, that they're manipulating. I can't believe that if you're being charged with a crime, you can't publicly talk about it, that you're muzzled and you're told to be quiet, to shut up. That's like a contradiction of the fundamental right to free speech, to defend yourself. So those are the things that bother me, too. It's like we're seeing a problem at almost every level in our country today, and it's very scary.
Well, I want to say in regards to this particular trial, I think it is by far the least significant trial that Trump is involved in. I hate to say it, but I'm quite sure there's an awful lot of other men in this country who have paid a woman to keep her mouth shut so his family doesn't find out about his indiscretion. And I don't know how many of those people have ever been brought to trial. There are
Right.
much important cases that Trump is involved in. But when you try him on something like this, many of his supporters, many of people who are in the middle say, to try a former president of the United States on a charge such as this, when he was responsible for so many other things that have gone on, I mean, it definitely looks, feels, and sounds like it's strictly political, and I believe it is political.
Yeah, and misusing your campaign fund, obviously that is illegal to do. But before the show, I won't mention who the politician was, but there was a committeeman from the far southwest suburbs who bought a car using his campaign fund and used it for personal reasons. And I remember trying to investigate that as a reporter with the Daily Southtown at the time, and I was basically told that the state's attorney didn't feel it was that big of a crime. Even though we were talking about $30,000, $40,000 that was being spent for your own personal benefit, it just was. You're right. I mean, we tolerated so much in politics up until this point. Now we won't tolerate anything. They're looking for any excuse. And again, I'm not defending Trump because to me the bigger thing is the hypocrisy and the destruction of a system. I don't care whether it's Trump or somebody else. But they're looking for anything they can to stop somebody that they don't like. And whether I agree with them or disagree with them about who they like or don't like, I really do disagree with what I think is the destruction of a system that was perfectly set up to bring justice to people if it's done the right way. We don't need to bend the rules to convict somebody. We just do it the right way, and if you're guilty, you're guilty. But I don't think people feel that way anymore. They want to go all out to ensure conviction, regardless of the system. And I think that ends up hurting us.
I certainly agree with you, Ray.
All right, Bill. Listen, so we'll keep an eye on Trump's court case this week and see if he ever gets 12 jurors. 12 Angry Men, I think, was the movie I remember. Maybe people want to go and watch that.
Yeah, I remember that one very well.
That was a great movie. And then we'll see what the impact is of the Kennedy family endorsing Biden over Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Bill Lipinski. Until next time, I'm a fellow American.